Kale and Company weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Trump's first 100 days are going to be in the books, and Rachel Maddow will be going back to one day a week.
Exactly.
Speaking of Trump's
And how will they survive? How will they survive?
Yeah, I know.
Struggle's real.
Yeah.
Can Rachel Maddow claim racism?
She can claim something.
Okay.
By the way, speaking of Trump's first 100 days, Nick Hale.
Oh, yes. We have eight days away.
Something coming up on Tuesday. Yeah. Next Tuesday.
May 6th.
What is that? May 6th.
Pints and Politics. Trump's first 100 days.
Politics and Pints.
Yeah. Politics and Pints. I like the pints first.
Yeah,
Politics second. Politics are actually better when you're consuming pints, because then the conversation gets very lively and animated.
Well, that's the thing. I'm going to ply you numbskulls with alcohol. God only knows what you're going to say.
Well, I know. And that, well, I'm going to pace myself, because I got to be back in the next morning at 6 a.m. As you know, we... Yeah.
Holy crap! We start at 6 a.m.!
Sorry, I fat fingered the board there.
It is right now, Politics and Pints. Tickets are on sale for next Tuesday. Actually, I think we're giving away a pair of tickets at 9:50 this morning. We're giving away a pair of tickets to Politics and Pints in Collegeville today at 9:50 for the Morning Mystery Movie clip. But you can buy tickets if you don't win them today. You can buy them at 1210WPHT.com, and just go there and you can see it. You can buy the tickets. It's in Collegeville, the Colonial Theater.
Phoenixville.
Yes,
Phoenixville. Sorry. Colonial Theater.
I'm all hopped up on Sudafed and
I was going to say, you do sound a little nasal.
Ah, dude, I'm just, these allergies are killing me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I took the Bruno.
Just take a Claritin every day. That's what I do, Claritin every day. During this time.
I've been taking Allegra, and it hasn't been doing anything.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm a Zyrtec guy.
Wow, so.
So
the three of us have different cold, the
Allergy
thingies.
But I typically
buy the generic ones, though. Don't buy the, you know, when you go into the over-the-counter, you go into any place.
Yeah.
You know, you have the actual Claritin or the, and then they have the generic version, which is made by the same company. And then you buy the generic ones, and it's like half the price.
Thank you.
The same product.
Thank you. It's the same thing I said last week. And Dawn and Stocker jumped down my throat saying, no, you got to buy the real one, or you're not getting the same ingredients. Yes, you are.
Yeah.
Buying the label.
By the way, Nick, when you tweeted earlier today, perhaps the juiciest show of the year, here we go. What does juiciest show of the year mean?
Because we've got great content, great stories.
Oh, okay. Is it juicy stuff?
I think so. Do you not?
Oh, yeah. It's always juicy with me.
Classic song from Biggie back in the day. And by the way, too, you talk about the allergies. I took my truck to the car wash after Thursday's show.
Yeah.
Covered in pollen.
Yeah.
Looked great afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
By Saturday morning.
Wait a minute. Are you new to living on the East Coast and spring in the air when everything's blooming?
I'm still reacclimating myself 3 years later, Tony. It's a slow rebuild. By Saturday morning, my truck was covered again in that yellow, filthy film. It's just awful.
Well, I was going to say, didn't the rain on Saturday wash it off?
Well, by the time we left Lancaster, but I left so early Saturday morning to drive to Amish country, it hadn't even rained yet.
Wow.
Yeah. Saw a lot of the...
So now we're complaining about pollen, something that happens. Next, we'll be complaining about the heat and humidity.
Yes.
Which now, as we're getting into April and May, you know, people... I've had my air conditioner on here since February. And you know, so you don't complain. You just put it on and, you keep it at 73, 74, and then it gets hot and humid. So you adapt to where you live, you know, whether you're in the cold or the hot or the heat or the humidity.
Exactly.
But you get... Allergies happen every year, but here they happen all just like California. All year long, something is blooming. And I'm not talking about the onion at Outback Steakhouse.
The blooming onion, yeah.
Way too many calories, by the way. Way too many calories.
Kind of overrated anyway. Not an Outback guy at all. It's trash.
It's all right. I mean, if you go there once a year and you have a blooming onion, it's not going to hurt you.
All right. We'll get to the big story from Friday night coming up shortly. One of Jeffrey Epstein's most prominent abuse survivors reportedly dies by suicide. We will have some thoughts on that coming up shortly, but let's get to the news round number two. Here at 7:08, it's time for Kale and Company News Live, brought to you by Bucks County Estate Traders, currently 53 degrees. Going up to 75 today. We begin in the news, Buckingham Township, as a man has been hospitalized hospitalized after a police-involved shooting in Buckingham Township. Ryan Skulski lives on this block. He said, quote, "It's very unusual, and it's very quiet usually. I had no idea when it happened. My dog was out in the front yard. Thank God my dog was okay. Thank God the people in my house were okay. It's just a sad situation all around." And this stems from a police-involved shooting, which is under investigation in Bucks County. Investigators say an officer shot a man during a confrontation on the 4800 block of Redfield Road in Buckingham Township on Saturday afternoon. Police telling 6ABC Action News that there was an accident involving a white van and a truck. When officers arrived around 4 o'clock, there was an exchange with the man. Police had to open fire, striking the man. The Bucks County DA's office said one person is receiving treatment at the hospital for injuries suffered during the incident, and no police officers were hurt. Robert Skulski, the standby citizen, said he saw part of the incident via his Ring doorbell camera, saying, quote, "I saw my Ring camera, and I saw the gentleman who was going and doing some painting at my house. He had his hands over his head. He had no idea what happened. He was in shock, and then I saw that I guess the perpetrator started to run after him." The Bucks County DA's office is investigating, as it does with all police-involved shootings. You know, if I remember correctly, wasn't Buckingham Township, wasn't that the township in which that scumbag killed the Temple yes. officer in the alleyway?
Yes.
That was Officer yeah. Fitzgerald, correct?
He escaped that. He escaped that place, right? And they couldn't find him
yes.
for weeks, yes. if I don't remember correctly, mm-hmm. right?
You're yeah. correct, yeah.
Sad that somehow I kind of remember that.
Lots of weird stories this weekend happening in the suburbs, right?
Yes.
You know, the Lily White suburbs.
Yep.
Interesting.
From Bucks to Montgomery County, we go as a knife-wielding man is killed in an officer-involved shooting in Ambler. This is Montgomery County. On Saturday around 7:34 p.m., a 911 call was placed in Ambler for a suspicious person. Upon arrival to Forest Avenue and School Street, Ambler police encountered 43-year-old Robert Aguiar Cholula of Ambler. They say Aguiar Cholula was wielding a large butcher-style knife. Officers issued commands for him to drop the knife. He did not comply. Then they had to discharge their taser. That didn't work. Which, by the way, we might have to have a conversation on some of these taser situations.
Yeah.
I mean, do you guys think that these taser situations where the taser is ineffective, do you automatically, and I know we have to say allegedly, but is the presumption then amongst us in the, you know, outside looking in that this guy's under some sort of influence of a drug? Because I'll tell you right now, if somebody tases me, I'm going down like a sack of bricks. All right? There's no way I'm shaking off a taser.
I've never been tased, but I learned from the famous "Don't Tase Me, Bro" guy
out in
California a couple years ago. You get shot with a taser, if you're not going down right away, you're on bath salts or you are hacked up on something. Because that's a lot of electricity. I accidentally touched my panel in my house the other day and got zapped.
Oh,
I wasn't even working on it.
I touched the door in this studio to open it up, and I damn near blow my fingers off with electricity from all the static in my golf shorts, and then all the cushioning in the seats, and then the metal and all the aluminum. Oh, I'm terrified of touching the door in this studio. You should see me when I go up by and I go like I tap it. I'm like Joe Pesci, Harry in Home Alone after he had his hand burned off. I touch it real slow just to make sure I'm not going to kill myself, and then I open the door.
Yeah.
And then we're good.
Yeah, there's no worse feeling than when you get an electric shock.
Yeah.
And you can feel it for hours. I mean, you can still feel that tingling sensation. So I don't get how anybody doesn't go down with one taser shot. Mm-hmm. And then you see these people that get, there's like five or six tasers being shot at them. They're like superhumans.
Yep. And then apparently the officers had to fire a shot. It ended up striking Cholula and killing him, as he later died in Jefferson Abington Hospital. But of course, the family of the 43-year-old Cholula said he was, quote, a loving father, but he did not want to comment further. You know, I find that really hard to believe, that when officers tell you a certain command and you don't respond, they tase you and you don't go down. And then ultimately they have to discharge their firearm and shoot and kill you. It's hard for me to process that you're probably a great dude behind closed doors. Because if you're willing to do that to a police officer, something tells me, just in a guess, just an assumption, you're probably not the nicest dude to your wife or your daughter or your son. That's just a hunch. I just find it hard to believe that you could be such a noble citizen and a great family man. So this is now Montgomery man, right? We've established this is Ambler dad, right?
Ambler dad.
Ambler man.
Ambler man. I was born to be an Ambler man.
Yes, indeed.
Boy, I was born an Ambler man. By the way, if you missed what, if you wonder where Phil Murphy is these days, the outgoing governor of New Jersey, he's in Saudi Arabia now, trying to get some oil from the Saudi Arabians, who they used to hate. But now they want to go to the petroleum capital of the world to beg for money in his waning days.
Okay.
As your Garden State leader.
I thought maybe
he's traveling the world. Isn't that what you do when you're when it's over, you just start traveling the world?
Or if you're a Democrat, you just go to a third world nation and then try to talk to an illegal immigrant that was deported back to said third world nation. Are we sure he's not there protesting the deportation of a Saudi Arabian national? Have we confirmed?
Nah, he's just trying to scam some money for retirement for him and his wife.
Beautiful. All right, last story of the day in the news. A second suspect arrested in connection to the purse snatching of DHS Secretary Kristi Noem, who, oh, by the way, was being held on an immigration detainer as charges are now finalized. So we have, Tony Bruno, not one, but two people that were involved in this purse-snatching scheme. Mm-hmm. And you made a great point in the first hour when we gave the story the first time around. So you have all of these ritzy, nice restaurants right in the heart of D.C. where all the politicos go. And if you are scouting the scene, so to speak, you see Kristi Noem walk in. I mean, I've never seen Kristi Noem not dialed up to the umpteenth degree. You're sitting right there and you're probably like, she's got a lot of money on her. That's our next target, right? Like, she is always looking 10 out of 10, and you're probably like, I guarantee you, she's got some high-end stuff in that purse. That is no doubt. And that's not to say she shouldn't look the way she does or anything like that. But sometimes you just give off the vibes that you have money, and I guarantee you that's what these people were looking for. They found it.
Exactly.
And it's a joke that the Secret Service can't do their job.
Well, you don't, again, I'm not defending the Secret Service, but you would think that she's in a restaurant. They probably don't see, you know, because these guys are really good. These are roving gangs of people who just go into restaurants in high income areas and see easy targets. And Kristi Noem was an easy target. If she left her purse on the floor or her handbag and a guy sleeps under it, you know, because he wasn't menacing. That's the thing. You got to like fit in with the crowd, and then people don't know. And that's exactly what happened here. And you think the Secret Service knew these guys who were purse snatchers were working that night? They were probably turned away, saw her having a good time, and didn't even know her purse was snatched until it was too late.
Yeah. What do you think the odds are that they just pivoted around, ordered a bourbon on the rocks, and watched the end of the Masters? Because that was two Sundays ago, which was also Easter Sunday. And she's also out there with her family. So I would love to know, where are the other men that are in her party at the table that are not aware of what's going on? Like, we put all the onus on the Secret Service, but there had to be some sort of male presence or other adults. I don't think it was just Kristi Noem and a bunch of her grandchildren, which is really, really remarkable to think about. Kristi Noem has grandchildren, right?
I mean, hey, I have grandchildren. Is anybody saying it's remarkable that I have grandchildren?
Well, no, but Kristi Noem looks phenomenal.
Well, I know. I'm a battered performer. I mean, you know, I've had a harder life than Kristi Noem, and I have never killed a dog. You know, I have my own attributes.
Yeah.
Have you ever aimed a gun at a ICE agent and pointed at the wrong direction?
No, she didn't aim a gun. And she did. By the way, you know, the story that we're not talking about, and it's going to be bigger later, is the female pilot in that helicopter crash.
Yeah, get to that right now. Yeah, let's do that right now.
Go ahead. This is a huge, huge story.
Yes.
Because remember that tragedy, and it seemed like yesterday, because there's so much news every single day. That helicopter crash in D.C., the one we remembered, the helicopter crashes into a plane.
Over the Potomac, yeah.
Yeah, over the Potomac River.
Yep.
How many people died? Like, a lot of people died, including her. And the. But apparently the female pilot was given several warnings by her male co-pilot to turn around before the collision. And back then, a lot of people were wondering whether it was DEI, Trump, whether it was DEI. We don't know whether she was a DEI hire, but the bottom line is she had the controls. She's the one who made the decision. And sadly, that's the result of it. Not because she happened to be a woman. From what we were reading before when they were doing the investigations, is apparently she hadn't had a lot of experience flying at night and flying in an area that has so much traffic. That's probably what led to that sad tragedy. All tragedies are sad, but that was one of the all-time. What the heck happened, and how did that happen?
Yeah, no, it's a good point, and it's one of these stories that obviously I think people are paying attention to, especially now that the Trump administration is in charge. You know, Hegseth from the Secretary of Defense standpoint is trying to weed out all of these possible DEI-type hires, setting a standard, and if anybody can meet the standard, you're in as long as you can meet said standard. This is not, you know, T-ball and Little League where everybody gets in at bat. If you're a female and you can hack it in any, you know, level, you're going to be able to be a part of it. But if not, you know, he talked about it last week. They're not going, you're not going to have certain people in combat active duty roles and put other people at risk with their lives just to fill up and hit quotas, which is the way I think it should be, right? Meritocracy is the ultimate way to run any sort of endeavor, operation, or business. The most qualified people, regardless of race, gender, or sexual orientation, yep, get the said position or the promotion. That's the way I view it.
That's what equality is all about. It's not about quotas and all those other things. The other story, of course, is the blue suit, and I'm sure it'll be discussed later on today. Trump wore a blue suit at the Pope's funeral, and now the media is going crazy over that. Impeach him, I say. Yet now they're pulling up pictures of pretty much every other world leader wearing blue suits at funerals. So that's how pathetic they are. I think they were talking about that on the Capitol steps over the weekend, the Democrats who are meeting there and loitering on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, it's interesting when you actually scale back the full photo and you don't just crop it to a group of six people, you'll actually see. And there's so many headlines out there, The Independent, The New York Times, The USA Today, Trump wears blue suit during funeral when everybody else is wearing black. Yet if you look at the full-scale picture that was taken, probably 25 or 30% of the people there are not wearing a black suit. But, of course, they made it all about Trump again. Suit hoax.
Even Zelensky had a black sport coat. I don't know if he wore a suit, but he had a jacket on. How about that picture of Zelensky sitting in a chair with Trump at the Vatican over the weekend?
Did it not look like Trump had him in timeout?
Wouldn't you love to know what they were talking about?
All right, that'll do it for the news. 7 o'clock news brought to you by Bucks County Estate Traders. Browse over 16,000 pieces. All high quality, famous brands, meticulously cared for and curated by their experts. Visit BucksCountyEstateTraders.com or their showroom in Hatfield. Cut sheet in about 25 minutes. Harry Mays will join us for that. We'll get to the Virginia Jeffrey story on the other side, but we'll wrap up here. Our buddy Chris, Chris Forsyth, normally in South Philadelphia, but he is still in Japan listening on the free Odyssey app because he's attending a never-ending Star Wars convention, I believe. Hello, Chris.
Hey, how you doing? Good morning.
How many sake bombs have you had so far?
Well, I'm smoking a Lucky Strike Japanese cigarette.
Nice.
And drinking on some Japanese Jim Beam.
What is the what time is it there?
It is 7:30 in the morning.
Happy hour. Wow.
No.
It's 8:22.
Oh, it's 8:22 p.m. there.
P.M.
It's
happy hour.
Nice.
So you're 13 hours ahead, and you haven't had a sake bomb.
Not yet, but I've definitely party with some pretty cool people.
Well, we used to have sake bombs here in the American media under the Joe Biden administration until Karine Jean-Pierre took over.
Are you ever coming home? Are you staying there?
Tomorrow is my last full day.
Wow.
Wait a minute. There's a multiple week long Star Trek or Star Wars convention in Japan.
Come on, Tony.
How many weeks is it?
It was only 3 days, but like I came out here on vacation.
Nice. How long have you been there?
Huh?
How long have you been there?
I don't even know anymore.
Chris, do you recall how much money you dropped for this entire trip? How much is this going to set you back?
I bet you he paid for basically nothing. I know Chris. He's
all right. What are you saying, Greg?
No. My guess is that you basically paid for nothing. You've just been, you know, kind of saying, "Hey, you want to buy me a drink?" and, you know, kind of meeting people and getting stuff that way.
All right. So I'm about $3,000 into those things.
No, that's not bad. That's not bad for a trip to Japan.
Yeah, it's cheaper than Disney.
Everything's expensive in Japan.
Yeah.
So that's not bad.
No, it's really not. Like everything here, like my food, like my hotel and everything, very cheap.
Yeah.
It's just the flight. Wow. It's just the flight that kills you.
Well, I was going to ask you that. Are you, we just had this story in the news. Are you afraid of flying back to America with a female pilot?
I mean, I don't care.
Really. You don't care. You don't care. As long as she's qualified, you're good with it.
Because I can fly the plane back if it need be.
Oh. Yes, especially in this state.
Chris, could you ride a bike right now?
Yes, I could.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Have you been on the?
I just might.
Have you been on a bullet train yet? One of those bullet trains down there?
No, that's going to be the next trip I'm going to do.
Nice.
Because this one was mostly for Star Wars and everything, and the next one is just going to be. I'm going to do all of Japan because, it's too short to do for, like, 2 weeks and, like, 3 days dedicated to Japan. So.
Yeah, yeah, nice.
Chris, what would you say your blood alcohol content is right now?
Oh, God.
2.1?
My next life I'm coming back is Chris Forsythe.
Yeah. Guy's living life,
yeah,
man.
I don't know. One of these things in. And,
one of those things, right. Got one of these.
Two Jim Beams, and I just picked up this other Japanese thing. So.
Another Japanese thing? That Japanese thing's good, man. You score any ladies while you're out there? Did you get with any Japanese women?
I ended up hanging out with a hungry woman.
Hungry?
Was she hungry? Like, I mean, was she... Hungry for a meal, hungry for you, or was she from the country Hungary?
She just wanted to go out for a drink.
Yeah, nice.
Oh, hey. Did
you treat her to a good time?
Yeah, no, I paid for everything.
Nice.
You're a gentleman, right?
Sometimes.
Did you take her to Benihana or one of those other chain restaurants?
I took her to the little lobby.
Well, after the party, it's the hotel lobby.
As Usher once sang, yeah.
Exactly. And after the party, it's the after party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be careful, Chris, because we need you here.
Yeah,
so.
We're going to need you to video document the politics and pints next week.
Yeah.
Am I getting hooked up with that?
Well, you should be sober by then, right?
Send me an email. I'll send you a ticket.
Rock and roll, Greg.
All right, rock and roll,
is,
dude.
All right, brother. There he is.
Be careful.
Fly safely.
Fly safely, dude.
Make sure there's a dude. Make sure there's a dude in the cockpit. All right. There he is, Chris Forsythe.
7:30 at night in Tokyo, Japan.
Yep,
and he is. Having the best life, even though he's around Star Wars geeks.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty amazing.
He's more banged up than Hunter Biden is right now. 855.
By the way, great stat. Let me give you a great stat here.
Go ahead.
The 2025 Phillies, what's their record right now? 15-13.
Yeah.
15-13. The 2008 Phillies threw this many games, which is what, 18 games? 28 games, I mean?
28.
15-13.
Wow.
The 1980 Phillies, 15-13.
Wow.
Through 28 games.
And they all won the world title.
Make the call, ladies and gentlemen. See, we went from this team sucks, break it up, get rid of everybody, the manager's topper's got to go, to uh-oh.
Yep.
This team is on the pace of the last two World Series champions. How about that?
Coming up next, Virginia Jeffrey. Oh, we got to talk about this tragedy. We'll do that quickly, and then we're going to get to the cut sheet because Harry Mays will be joining us in under 20 minutes. Kale and Company, we're back after this. But first, a word from our friends at Bucks County Estate Traders. You know, the truth is they don't make furniture like they used to. And if you're tired of cheap, mass-produced junk, let me tell you about my friends at Bucks County Estate Traders. Their Hatfield showroom place is massive, over 58,000 square feet, and they have over 16,000 pieces of high-end furniture. Brands like Stickley, Baker, Henrodon, and more. The kind of quality craftsmanship that stands the test of time, and you can save thousands compared to new retail prices, no matter the style. Classic, modern, rustic, traditional. You're going to find stunning pieces that fit today's home. Whether you're looking for maybe a piece for your living room, your dining room, you're redoing the home office, or perhaps that man cave downstairs, Bucks County Estate Traders, they have it all. And unlike the big box stores, if you see something you love, you can take it home the same day. Every piece with a QR code, which displays the details instantly. Pro tip, here's what you do. Check out their website, find an item, call ahead. They'll have the pieces you want ready to show you. Visit BucksCountyEstateTraders.com or stop by their showroom in Hatfield. If you're furnishing your home, go in there and tell them, I want my home furnished like Nick Kale.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
This came down late on Friday night. I sent this to our group text. This is probably 8:30, 9 o'clock on a Friday evening. Virginia Jeffrey, one of Jeffrey Epstein's most prominent abuse survivors, dies by suicide, according to reports. She was 41 years old. Most people that have been infatuated with the Epstein files certainly know this name. Hello, whoever joined. Jeffrey, 41, died in Nyrgabby, I believe that's how you say it, Nyrgabby, Australia, where she had been living for several years. She is one of the earliest and loudest voices that was calling for criminal charges against Jeffrey Epstein and his enablers, other Epstein abuse survivors, later credited her with giving them the courage to speak out. So this, let's have this conversation because I think we all have our thoughts, we all have our theories, and I think most of us are all on the same page, and we are probably in lockstep agreement with a lot of this. But I find this interesting because I remember when we talked about this story a couple of weeks ago, Tony Bruno, maybe a month ago, you might have been with us or I might have asked you about it because I know Greg, you brought up the fact that we played a story of Virginia in Australia. And the initial report was that she was hit by a bus.
Yes.
I believe a school bus.
Yes.
And then
yes.
There was these reports that she had 5 days to live, and then That was kind of retracted.
She said it in a post, in a social media post.
Correct.
She posted a picture of herself all banged up.
Yes.
Saying that she was in this accident, she had all kinds of internal injuries, and she had like 5 days to live, but she was holding on to like until she got to see her kids or whatever. And then, but then that there were reports that claim was not true.
Correct. And I think we all were suspicious. Like, wait a minute, she was hit by a school bus. That seems, you know, a little strange. I mean, the odds of that happening, you know, very, very slim. And now we find out that she dies by suicide. From the stories that I have, Tony Bruno, I do not have a specific cause of death with the details other than it was suicide. And of course, we know Epstein died by suicide in prison. Nobody believes that. Camera stopped working. You think foul play is in play here, or did she reach a point where she was just at the point where she wanted to end her life, which would run counter to this post? Phil, let's throw this up. This was from, I think, 6 years ago. Virginia Jeffrey saying on social media, I am making it publicly known that in no way, shape, or form am I suicidal. I have made this known to my therapist and general practitioner. If something happens to me, in the sake of my family, do not let this go away and help me to protect them. Too many evil people want to see me quieted. So 6 years later, I get it. A lot of things in your life can change. Maybe you do take your life. Although I personally, sir, I am not buying this at all.
Well, you remember it was Roger Stone, who a lot of people don't like, but he interviewed her for the book that he wrote back in 2015 called The Clintons, War on Women. And he read every word of her sworn testimony. And he, for one, does not 1 minute believe she committed suicide. She gets hit by a bus. then recovers, and then at that point decides to take her own life.
Yep.
That's what doesn't make any sense. And all of these stories have that same, there's no way this happened. From Epstein not having the camera on, the guards were on a break, all of these things in this story, to Ghislaine Maxwell not being held accountable for any of this stuff. It's the most bizarre sexual deviant story maybe in my lifetime. And there have been a lot of crazy stories, but this one, this whole Epstein thing makes zero sense to me.
Yeah. And I believe last week Trump was asked again about the Epstein files, and he was very tepid in his response. And I mean, to me, you've come out and you have said, I'm going to release JFK, I'm going to release RFK, I'm going to release MLK, I'm going to release, all of these things completely unredacted, right? And now it seems like Trump is completely in backpedal mode on this. Now, to me, at the end of the day, do I need to know what happened to JFK, MLK, RFK, Epstein, anything like that? No, it doesn't change my life. It doesn't make the economy better for me. It doesn't make our border more secure. It doesn't end wars in Russia, Ukraine, or the Middle East. So there are far bigger fish to fry. But they have been very vocal about releasing it. So if you are, and I try to be a straight shooter, if you are what you claim you are, well then, let's go ahead and release these files unredacted. But I believe Pam Bondi and all of these people are going to backpedal now. I think that speaks volumes to the details of what's in there. I think there's a lot of very powerful people that are alive, that are still full of influence and have a lot of sway. And if they get released, I think probably Trump's life is in danger. Not that it's not already. He's been shot at twice basically, if not more. But I really think there's a lot of bad stuff in there. I think the whole system can get upended. You agree?
No doubt. Yeah, no doubt about it. And again, I don't know what's in it, but we know the flight logs and all that other stuff. So everybody in Washington, not everybody, so many people in Washington, politicians, actors, celebrities, I mean, the royalty involved with this GIF freak, right? Isn't she photographed when she was younger?
Prince Andrew.
Yeah. Back in the early 2000s. Yeah.
So you have dirtbags from all walks of life, most of them high-profile people, celebrities, athletes, you name it, members of Congress,
yep,
billionaires, royal, as you mentioned, royal family members. So this goes deep, and I don't know if we'll ever get to the end of it. The other files, I'm glad they're going to be released, but most people don't remember any of these events. That doesn't mean we shouldn't know what happened, but all these things are just getting out there, and 2 days later, they disappear from the news because things are happening so fast right now, and things that matter, like, inflation, gas prices, and things like that, things that people care about every day.
Yep. All right. That'll do it with that. If you guys want to jump in, 855-839-1210. I told you I would stay on time, 20 minutes until the cut sheet officially starts as we officially welcome in.
Let's go, Harry.
Hello, Harry. Harry Mays is joining us. What's up, Harry?
Good morning, and thank you for joining me. I was never on Epstein Island, and I am not suicidal, so it's a good Monday morning.
So if you kick the bucket...
I floated by Epstein Island on the various boats, but I've never stepped foot on it. I can assure you of that.
So if you kick the bucket in the next couple of days, it's probably that your liver just gave out, right?
Natural causes.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes. By the way, did you hear, Harry, Mr. Forsyth from Japan indulging in all kinds of Japanese debauchery?
No, I did not. I missed that.
Yeah.
Chris, he's in Japan, and he calls in at 7:30 at night, all liquefied up. Yeah. It was entertaining. By the way, Harry's all clean shaven now. Look, he's got the glasses. Yeah. Yeah. Harry.
2 weeks, Harry, no vodka.
Wow.
No vodka for two weeks. And I was told by Nick Cale that last week's performance was my best ever. So I think we're on to something here.
I agree. I think you've got your vitriol. You've got your fastball back. I kind of like it.
No booze. No booze at all, or just no vodka?
No vodka. I've had a little bit of bourbon, a little taste.
Yeah, a little taste.
And I've had a couple of high lifes. Okay. That's about it.
Nice. Yeah. Look at you.
Yeah.
Harry Mays, living the high life.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Monday edition of What's on the Cut Sheet.
What's on the Cut Sheet?
What's on the Cut Street on this Monday, sponsored by Garden State Earthworks. You have water on your property giving you a headache, soggy yards, damp patio, floating, wrinkling pool liners, water invading your home. Call Garden State Earthworks, your drainage solution, at 856-848-4444. That's 856-848-4444. Tell Lou Varga and everybody that you heard about them on 1210 WPHD, Garden State Earthworks, 856-848-4444. Thank you for sponsoring the ever-important and highly rated Cut Sheet Monday morning edition of the Cut Sheet. Tony Bruno,
a tradition unlike any other, including the Masters and all the WrestleManias and other things that have been happening at Star Wars conventions.
It's absolutely true. You mentioned the Democrats sitting on the Capitol steps for 12, 13 hours yesterday. Not really sure what they were doing. But we have little snapshots of, like, here's 6 hours, here's 10 hours, here's 12. So let's start with 6 hours in. What were they doing on there? Nobody really knows. What were they protesting? Nobody really knows. Roll this.
First of all, my favorite Muslim poet was a man named Muhammad Ali.
Ooh,
and his that great poem, two words, me, we.
Woo!
Woo! But it actually reflects an ideal within Islam of the oneness of humanity.
Absolutely.
That there may be different faiths.
Sure.
But there's a oneness in humanity.
Yeah.
What you do to another, you do to me.
That's right.
That's a very big part of the faith, yes?
It is. Even in Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him's last farewell address, he mentioned that.
And in the background, for those without visual capabilities, you see Randy Weingarten, and I can tell you what she's going through in her head right now.
Really?
So the hell am I doing out here? Yeah. There's no teacher strike. Is there a check involved with this?
I feel like I'm watching a remake of a Boys to Men video. Hey, what the hell are they having? What are they talking about?
At least
they're
not singing and dancing like most of these videos.
Well, Tony, just wait. They will be singing. So you just sorry, Harry. You just wait. They will be you know. That was just 6 hours in. They weren't ready to start singing yet.
I thought protests were when, you know, you had signs and you walked around in the circle and you had stupid chants.
They chanted something.
They're just basically gathering and having like a live podcast of the history of the world.
It's true. It's absolutely true. with no real point and nobody really covered it. I mean, like, we're covering it, but like, did anybody really know that they did this?
No.
All right. So that was 6 hours in. Let's do 10 hours in. Let's hear what they did 10 hours into this.
We got some power here. Now, we said we were anchoring ourselves in the moral traditions. When we came out here over 10 hours ago, Hakeem and I said this is a bigger moment than politics. This is a moral moment in America, and we were going to sit here for a long time. I didn't know we'd be sitting for 10 hours, but it's 10 hours and we're still going, and we got some great people here. But the moral traditions...
And even Raphael Warnock from Georgia sitting front row.
It's growing.
And a couple of random white chicks showed up. What's going on over there? Let's see what's happening here, you know? But how about Cory Booker, the Mr. 25 Hours, decides, hey, let's go sit on the Capitol steps and see how many people show up on a Sunday. Was that yesterday or Saturday?
It was yesterday.
Because I didn't pay attention. I didn't even know this happened until I saw the cut sheet this morning.
Yeah.
This was even more low profile than the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Nobody saw that, and nobody saw these clowns, Cory Booker, Mr. Spartacus.
Yeah, Tony and I got more people at the jug handle at 10 a.m. before the bar was even open.
You're damn right, Harry.
Exactly.
The jug handle.
You know what we ought to do? Hakeem Jeffries, you get Dollar Store Obama against Cory Booker.
No, it's Timu Obama. Come on, man. Let's keep it China.
Hakeem is Dollar Store Obama. Cory Booker's Timu Obama. Let them fight at WrestleMania in 2027. Winner gets to represent the Democrat Party in the primary and try to knock off J.D. Vance. I think that's how we settle this, because that's what they're doing here. I think that this is all about both of these individuals positioning themselves in a weak party for 2028. It's not going to be Kamala. It's not going to be AOC. No. It's not going to be Bernie. It's going to be either Josh Shapiro, Cory Booker, or Hakeem Jeffries.
Yeah, but then you got to have George Clooney come out from underneath the ring in the middle of the match. And body slam, you know, frame from the top rope, Tony, and do like an elbow slam.
Yep.
Since he's starting to look like the Undertaker, because he's doing this play, he was supposed to look like the actor that he portrays, the movie good night, for good not luck. Smoking. What,
yeah,
good night and good
Edward
luck.
Morrow.
And he's playing.
Oh, he, Edward, Edward R. Murrow. Murrow. Yeah.
Yeah, he's doing the Edward R. Murrow play. He looks like the Undertaker, so maybe he could be the new one. The Undertaker's still alive, by the way.
Yes.
But I'm talking now, who is the other guy, the creepy guy, the Paul Bearer?
Oh, he's dead.
He could be Paul Bearer. Bearer. Yeah, the manager.
He's dead, right?
Yeah, he died.
So they need a new Paul Bearer. That should be Clooney.
Yeah. But just be careful that you don't fall into the grave like those Paul Bearers in that video that we played for you a few weeks ago
in Philly. Yeah.
Burying the casket.
That was Philly. That was local.
Yeah. All right, so that was 10 hours. Let's do 12 hours, okay?
Really?
Yeah, let's do 12
hours. Do we have to?
Sorry.
At the 6 o'clock hour.
Brought to you by.
Officially at the 12 hours that we've been at this. We started walking in your office, got down here a few minutes after 6 o'clock a.m. It is now 6 o'clock p.m.
Basically, Cory Booker's been talking for every hour that Chris Forsythe has been drinking in Japan.
We have no reason to be here. I have no idea why we're here. We're just sitting on our asses.
Well, that's what I mean. Is he talking the whole time?
It sounds like. I'm not sure.
Oh, this is a layup for him.
Yeah.
This guy did 25 hours 2 weeks ago.
That's true.
It's true.
This guy's doing his own Travis Mannion Foundation radio thon. It's outrageous.
Wow. It's like when Mike and the Mad Dog used to do 24 straight hours of sports talk.
Oh, God. Wow. Can you imagine that? The hell do you talk about in 24 hours?
Well,
give him a loss, dog. Give him a loss, dog.
Exactly. Hour number 10, going on 11. Back after this. Here's the Mink Man.
Yeah.
All right, Harry, you asked for singing. Well,
yeah.
Your wish
it's coming.
Is my command, sir. Really.
You know the song from the beginning. I will build this world from love.
Clap along.
Ya-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Wow. Was that a rabbi?
I'm not sure.
And if we build this world from love,
what? That's a rabbi singing a song with a free palace guy.
I know, free palace guy. One guy with a suit and tie.
Let's build the country we deserve.
Wow.
You know, Harry, you and Stocker are the music aficionados. I'll defer to your judgment. No, how would you score that performance?
Horrendous.
Below zero.
It's like that Simon and Garfunkel song. Lie da die. Lie da die. Die 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 die.
Isn't that the boxer?
The boxer, yeah.
Yeah, it is the boxer. It's great boxer knowledge.
I can't believe we have a rabbi and then a guy in the background with a Free Palestine sign.
You can't.
For the first time, the Arabs and Jews are united, and it's all because of left-wing ideology.
Yep.
You got to check all the boxes.
My God.
So we're not really sure what they were protesting, what they accomplished.
I don't even. We've spent more time on this story than any network did all weekend long.
I know.
Even C-SPAN 3 didn't have this online.
It's
nobody
true.
Covered this.
Kristen Welker omitted this by omission.
Yep. Tony mentioned the White House Correspondents' Dinner that they had over the weekend.
They still have that?
This is cut three. Well, they had it without a comedian. They had it without the president. So I'm not really sure.
They had it without an audience.
I'm not really sure what the point of it was.
The show must go on.
But this is Axios' Alex Thompson, who, in a rare moment of truth, blamed the Biden administration for covering up his mental decline, and the media simply missed a lot of the story. They missed a lot of the story.
Missed.
Roll this.
President Biden's decline and its cover-up by the people around him is a reminder that every White House, regardless of party, is capable of deception.
Wow.
But being truth tellers also means telling the truth about ourselves. We, myself included, missed a lot of this story. And some people trust us less because of it. We bear some responsibility for faith in the media being at such lows.
Anything else, Alex?
No response.
I say this because acknowledging errors builds trust, and being defensive about them further erodes it. We should have done better.
Yeah.
I believe our mission is vital in a world where people are struggling to figure out what's true, and people with power are not telling the truth. I also believe that this association has been, is, and will continue to be critical to that mission.
Yeah.
Thank you to the association's leadership for your unflinching defense of the First Amendment, not just now, but always. Your decades of daily battles on behalf of reporters is why this award is one of the great honors of my life.
He's such a
dude. Like they gave him an award. Gave him an award, so he got up there. And oh, by the way, this is the same. This guy's a phony. Mm-hmm. He's another phony.
Yep.
He went up there. You notice nobody cheered him. Nobody reacted at all.
No.
No, and they didn't have a comedian. And that he was the highlight because he was the only guy who got up there and said a couple of things to schmooze over the fact that he was also complicit in hiding all the Biden stuff. And now he wants, you know, he's grateful for an award that means absolutely nothing to anybody except him. And Axios, another one of these Johnny come lately fake news propaganda outfits. Bonies all around. I can't believe people show up for this thing.
Basically, that clip was a minute and 43 seconds. He could have summed it up in about 13 seconds and said, yeah, we lied we lied through our teeth to cover up Biden so that we could defeat Donald Trump because, you know, we're a bought and paid for outlet. I think Axios was another one of those websites that received funding from USAID like Politico and the New York Times. So you throw out journalistic integrity, Harry. It was all about beating Donald Trump, and then maybe they'll get back to reporting the truth.
Yeah. I mean, it's if you don't have a comedian, does that thing really exist?
No.
Because that used to be the whole part about it.
Yes. Exactly.
They'd kind of make fun of themselves. They'd make fun of the president. It used to be kind of a cool event a long time ago.
Yeah, the president used to be there.
Yeah.
Bob Biden was there. Trump was there. Obama was there. You know, they had some celebrities in there, but if you're a celebrity, why are you bothering to go to that garbage event on a Saturday night?
By the way,
was it Friday or Saturday night?
I think it was Friday night, wasn't it? No, I think it was Saturday night. By the way, they missed it. They didn't miss it. They ignored it.
Yes. They ignored it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, they blamed all the people around Biden. Did you hear that too? It was the people around Biden that were at fault.
And now they're all.
By the way, they found. Yeah. They found a lot of quotes. By the way, of Alex Thompson. Actually contradicting what he said, proving that he was one of the lemmings that was involved with everybody else in that room who was part of the biggest cover-up in the history of any presidency. So, at least in Watergate, you know, you had media actually interested in trying to get to the bottom line of that, which is nothing in comparison to what Biden and his people got away with for 4 years, propping him up.
So if he had any integrity, he'd refuse the award.
Exactly.
That's a great point.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, think about this. They're all in lockstep. They all lied to us for 4 years. They all gave us the same talking points. And now they're all still together in lockstep by saying, we all missed it. We all screwed up. Our bad. Oh, by
the way, let's move on.
Here's my book on how we screwed up. Please buy it.
Yep.
Right. Exactly.
If you watch any or listen to any other source of information other than mainstream media or read mainstream press, you knew that there were cognitive issues back in 2020. Yeah. You knew.
Yes.
When he didn't come out of his basement.
Yes.
You knew.
He eroded quickly.
Yes. Yes. That's what I'm saying. Like,
I'm calling a lid right now, by the way, on any more White House correspondent action.
I think you should. This is so apropos that all of these guys now are coming out and saying, like, well, we missed it. Yeah, it was it was the Biden administration's fault. No, it wasn't.
The American media, you look at all the institutions in this country, if you polled right now your faith and trust in them, science, medicine, CDC, big pharma, politicians, lawyers, media, academia, I would argue the media has probably got to be the lowest of them all.
Uncle Sam,
show not only has jumped the shark, it's jumped the broom, it finally crashed into a canyon of irrelevance. They should never have that again. They should just have it in a closed room, smoke-filled room with no cameras, and let these idiots just flatulate each other or flagellate each other.
Yeah,
burning Japanese Lucky Strikes while they're at it.
It's a nice throwback to the
No filter.
There you go. Uncle Sam says, I was hit by a Mack truck, but I missed it.
Exactly.
It's a great point. 60 Minutes last night.
Oh.
They closed their broadcast with, we know, we talked a lot last week about their producer, yeah, Bill Owens, who quit.
Quit.
Resigned because of pressure from above. He said he thought his journalistic integrity was being besmirched.
Compromised.
Compromised. So
yeah,
they spent a minute at the end of 60 Minutes last night discussing it. And basically, they went against their parent company, Paramount.
Oh.
Yeah. Roll this.
In tonight's last minute, a note on Bill Owens, until this past week, was executive producer of 60 Minutes.
Can you stop it for a second?
Yeah, how about Scott Pelley with a backbone?
Even when they're like going off script, they're not off script, because you can tell this is written. But even when they're like going rogue, they're still boring.
How does it not? I mean, does this really resonate with anybody?
And tonight, for our last minute,
it still comes off super elitist.
It comes off elitist. It comes off staged. It comes off just like, and tonight, for our last minute. Yeah. Like, talk to me real,
remember,
bro.
Remember, guys, we had the conversation last week about 60 Minutes still having great ratings on Sunday nights. Because people are used to it. The golf tournament's over. People get mad when the golf tournament gets cut off so they can go to 60 Minutes or NFL games.
Yep.
You know, they don't show the last minute. 60 Minutes is irrelevant. None of their people there matter anymore. Leslie Stahl is a hag. She shouldn't be there.
How old is she?
I mean, it's a joke.
Yeah.
I don't know, but they get caught and they edit stuff all the time, and they got sued, and now the executive producer falls on the sword, and then Scott Pelley out there sounding like he's at the funeral for the Pope. And by the way, do we have any white smoke yet from Rome? I have a Pope under 4 days at the conclave.
Are we doing a Pope draft party?
Have you been approached to be the next pontiff? Pope Tony Bruno.
We should have a Pope board. Let's put our top bishops and cardinals on the big board.
You need one of those hats, Tony.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, the Pope hat. And then we need to have Mel Kiper grade the popes and see whether or not we have a Shador Sanders candidate up there who will keep dropping down the papal poles.
Mel Kiper is advocating for the first ever black pope.
How about a female pope? Is it going to be a female pope? Is it going to be a woman who identifies as a woman?
Yeah.
How about if the next pope is a man who identifies as a woman?
Yeah, I like it.
Then what?
All right, let's roll 60 Minutes here.
Note on Bill Owens, who until this past week was executive producer of 60 Minutes. He was our boss. Bill was with CBS News nearly 40 years, 26 years at 60 Minutes. He covered the world, covered combat, the White House. His was a quest to open minds, not close them. If you've ever worked hard for a boss because you admired him, then you understand what we've enjoyed here. Bill resigned Tuesday. It was hard on him and hard on us, but he did it for us and you. Stories we've pursued for 57 years are often controversial. Lately, the Israel-Gaza war and the Trump administration. Bill made sure they were accurate and fair. He was tough that way.
Yeah.
But our parent company, Paramount, is trying to complete a merger. The Trump administration must approve it. Paramount began to supervise our content in new ways. None of our stories has been blocked, but Bill felt he lost the independence that honest journalism required.
So he said none of their stories have been blocked, but they were afraid that they would be.
Mm. It's Kale and Company
had the Kamala Harris interview.
And they edited it.
With Bill Whitaker, that they had to admit that they doctored.
Yeah.
And then they had people asking for the transcripts of the Kamala Harris interview. And then Trump sued because they are corrupt. That's what this is about.
Yes.
This is about 60 Minutes being corrupt, anti-Trump, which they can be, but don't pretend you're serious journalists anymore.
Right. Impartial.
60 Minutes hasn't been serious
since Mike Wallace.
The original Mike Wallace and Morley Safer and those guys. They're not. They're hacks. When you have Anderson Cooper as one of your main reporters, you know you got nothing.
Yeah.
When Pat Summerall used to introduce the evening lineup of 60 Minutes and Murder.
murder, she wrote.
She wrote.
Except
that
on the West
when
Coast.
When they jumped the shark.
Yeah.
Exactly right. When there was point counterpoint at the end where Shayna Alexander and some other guy would say, you ignorant slut. No, that's what the Saturday Night Live made fun of. You know, when you had the old guy at the end, what was his name that had the with the
Rooney.
Big eyebrows?
Rooney.
Andy Rooney.
Andy, when Andy
yeah.
Andy Rooney would do his thing.
You
that's
know what
when
I don't
60
like?
Minutes relevant. Yeah. What about
this?
Yeah. I'm getting those yeah. eyebrows, yeah. by the way. I need my those eyebrows rough. Trimmed like every 4 or 5 days. That, I start looking like Andy Rooney.
Every four or five minutes. Days.
Yes.
Dude.
Harry.
Yeah.
Harry.
Wow.
Get up, Harry.
All right, just a little bit more of this.
But in resigning, Bill proved one thing. Yeah. He was the right person to lead 60 Minutes all along. I'm Scott Pelley. We'll be back next week with another edition of 60 Minutes.
I'm Nick Kale, and we'll be back with another edition of Kale & Company. But Greg Stocker has resigned from Odyssey and Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. The reality is the Odyssey suit started to pressure him. Now, they didn't try to moderate the cut sheet, but they told him what he yeah. could or could not play. And they also drew very wary and thin and tired of the act of yelling at people on YouTube, as the tape would show.
Get off my YouTube!
To which David Yadgaroff finally said, sir, you have to go. I'm Bill
and
Owens.
You did it for all of us. He
Thank
did
you.
It for all of us so I that did. We can continue to provide the same nonsense and flawed bull crap every single Sunday night.
Very nice.
Except on the West Coast.
Yep.
Where
I can't take Scott Pelley seriously when he doesn't no. have his glasses on and take them off during the you know, the monologue.
That was the longest final minute ever. Was that actually 60 seconds?
It was.
Did
it
the
was,
clock tick down?
It was a minute 40. So they took the last 60
seconds. And
they lied
about that, too. It's not the final minute, then. They can't even lie about how long 60 minutes is.
It is the final countdown, though, Tom.
Yes.
Love that song.
Let's see here. Let's go back to the Shador Sanders thing that we did in the 6 o'clock hour. We'll get Harry's take on this. Let's start with four here. This was Shador Sanders getting picked by the Cleveland Browns in the 5th round of the NFL draft. You can just roll this. There's really nothing to. Woo! 5th round. There you go.
Yeah. That was pretty funny.
Nothing like live streaming your draft yeah. party
on the 5th round
with all the comments in the top right corner.
Yep.
It looks like
yeah.
a YouTube chat on steroids.
Yep.
Oh my god. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tony,
this is good for him. He yeah. gets a chance. He gets sure. a chance now, and he goes to Cleveland, where they. I said earlier, Harry. They, you know, they just keep drafting quarterback after quarterback after
oh,
quarterback
yeah.
for decades. So hopefully this kid gets a chance. But the whole racial – I want to hear Harry's talk about how this became racial suddenly.
Yeah. How can it be racial when the number one draft pick, Cam Ward, was African-American?
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, it's not racial. Now, I'm sure a lot of teams didn't want to deal with Deion Sanders because Deion was – basically his agent. And by the way, Shiloh, the brother, fired Deion Sanders over the weekend as his agent and hired Drew Rosenhaus before signing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as a free agent. Did you see that?
He fired his
no.
dad.
Fired the dad because things hadn't been going so well. He
yeah.
kind of joked about it, but it's true. You know, teams didn't want to deal, I think, with Deion Sanders,
yeah.
you know, who basically was saying, I will tell you what teams you don't want to go to. Like, you know,
right.
you know, Deion was guiding this whole thing.
Right.
And basically, you know, the guy wasn't a first round pick to begin with. Let's be honest. Okay. It was like it was a media creation, like Nick said.
Yeah.
Where, you know, we have all these weeks of build up to a draft where you got to put out mock draft 6.0 and 7.0 and all this nonsense. And everybody was basically saying and singing the choir that he was a first round pick. Well, he obviously wasn't a first-round pick. Now, was he a fifth-round pick? I don't know that he was that low. But like Tony said, he's going to have the opportunity now to go prove himself in the ultimate results-oriented business. That is the NFL. You either make it or you don't.
Yeah.
There's nothing. You know, he's in there with what? Jameis Winston, I think, is in that room now. Yeah. Joe Flacco. How many quarterbacks do they have?
Well, I also read this story from Armando Salguero, great writer from South Florida.
He's great. Yep.
He was reporting that, you know, Shedeur Sanders did not interview well with a lot of the teams. Right. There was an arrogance, a sense of entitlement. Remember,
where did he get that from? His dad.
Well, his dad, yeah. Right. And also, he didn't go to the combine, which a lot of guys, you know, will skip the combine.
A lot don't.
And, you know, then I'm seeing all of these false equivalencies of, well, Eli Manning had Archie Manning saying, don't go here. He's not going to sign there if you draft him 20 years ago. The same thing with Johnny Manziel, wealthy, entitled, brat punk kid. The total difference.
He was a punk.
But the difference was Eli Manning played at a high level in the SEC. Johnny Manziel won the Heisman, played at a high level, lit Alabama up two straight years. Shedeur Sanders played in the crappy Big 12, not the great Big 12 of years past, in the crappy Big 12, and had a good year, but he was not like this surefire, can't-miss prospect. So everybody trying to make these racial equivalencies to white quarterbacks, I think are missing the mark completely here.
The mistake is that Deion said he's a top five pick.
Right.
You know, and so everybody said, well, he's a top five pick. I mean, his dad must know. He was with him. They traveled. Right. They went to different teams and met with different people. So the top five pick narrative was the one that really set the stage for all of this nonsense. And, oh, my God, he's still on the board.
Right.
And that's what kept people watching. I mean, let's be honest. That was the only reason people kept watching, because nobody knew 90% of these guys who were getting drafted.
It's true. it was a very weak draft. I mean, the best draft pick, in my opinion, went to the New York Giants. So, you know, in the first round.
Yeah.
Speaking of making
Abdul Carter.
From Penn State, who wanted to be
an Eagle. High school.
He wanted to be an Eagle.
Yeah, Philly boy.
Yeah.
Now, will he be better than Tyler Shuck, who I think New Orleans took in the second round? Probably. But he's going to have his chance to prove it.
All right.
Speaking of making this Shedeur Sanders thing racial, Jamal Bowman never misses an opportunity to make things racial. This is cut six, Phil. Go.
Someone like Shedeur Sanders, you know, because he talk a certain way and because he wears gold chains.
Oh, here we go.
And his pops is Deion, and he don't want to submit to y'all white, you know. He's gonna slip in the draft, and you're telling me it's based on the evaluation. Like, you didn't watch the games and watch him play and see him play.
Harry Shedeur, Jamal Bowman will be joining Brian Baldinger later today for a Baldy's breakdown on tape sessions for Odyssey as part of the Baldy podcast. Look. You know the worst part of all of this too is you just shove this right back in Bowman's face. So the NFL's racist, right? Then why did the Jacksonville Jaguars trade up from 5 to 2 to draft Shadur's teammate, Heisman Trophy winner Travis Hunter?
Travis Hunter.
Yeah. Answer me that. Yeah.
Right.
Racist league.
Yeah. Look, he doesn't have a strong arm. He's very accurate. He doesn't run, and he's not very big.
Yeah.
You know, those are all things that weigh against you in the NFL to get drafted towards the top of the board.
Harry, would you, in weird bedfellows, would you like to know that Jamal Bowman and President Trump are actually on the same side on this, on the whole Shedeur Sanders thing? Phil, can you throw up the tweet there for Harry from President Trump?
Yeah, but Trump didn't call the NFL racist like Jamal Bowman.
He did not.
No, you said they're stupid.
He said, what is wrong with the NFL owners? Are they stupid? Deion Sanders was a great college football player and was even greater in the NFL. He's also a very good coach, streetwise and smart. Therefore, Shedeur, his quarterback son, has phenomenal genes and is all set for greatness. He should be picked immediately by a team that wants to win. Good luck, Shedeur, and say hello to your wonderful father.
Wow, it's really stroking Deion there.
Well, they're buds, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I said in the 6 o'clock hour, Harry. Like, for Trump, it doesn't matter political sides. It matters whether you're his friend or not. That's all that matters.
Well, yeah, he was hanging out with Saquon Barkley over the weekend.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
And now some fans are saying, Saquon Barkley is with President Trump. Yeah. I'm going to burn my jersey.
They're burning 26 jerseys, Tony.
South Philly.
Yeah.
No, not in South Philly. I think still in New York, but they got a lot of things to burn up there. of both.
Or maybe
franchises.
Out here in Lower Marion Township, they're burning. They drive up in their Subarus and burn their jerseys.
By the way, streaming live on YouTube, you can see all the fun and frivolity on YouTube. YouTube.com/at1210WPHT. Please make sure you hit the like and subscribe button. Harry, have you smashed that like button yet?
Oh, smash yeah, I gotta get on. I gotta get on there.
Smash it. Tony, have you smashed that like button yet?
I've been smashing everything I've been seeing this weekend. I'm so fired up. I'm so riled up, Harry, as we used to say back in the day. Riled up.
Yeah. So get on over to YouTube, please, right now. You can see all of these videos. One more on the Shakur Sanders thing. He got pranked by a college student. Apparently, this was the defensive coordinator's son from the Atlanta Falcons.
Yes. Yeah, Jeff Albright.
Yes.
Yeah, who did this. So he calls up Shador, and you can see actually a side-by-side video. This is actually very well done, of the kids pranking him and him picking up the call. Roll this. Mm-hmm.
Hey, is this Shador? Hey, this is Mickey Loomis here, the GM of the New Orleans Saints.
Mickey Loomis.
How you doing? This is Mickey Loomis here, GM of the Saints.
How you doing?
Good, how are you, man?
Good, been waiting on you.
Yeah, we have. It's been a long wait, man. We're going to take you with our next pick right here, man.
This ain't going to be nothing to do.
Hey, but you're gonna have to wait a little bit longer, man. Sorry about that.
What does that mean?
What do you say?
I don't know.
There you go.
And apparently, Ulbrich's kid who did the prank there goes to Ole Miss. And look, I mean, is it funny?
He deleted his account, and he actually apologized to him.
Right.
So he wrote a tweet. Because they found out that his dad's a coach in the NFL, and he was pranking Shador Sanders. But pranks were the big thing. You know, that show, with that one show with the prank guys.
Crank Anchors.
No, that was the old school one. Oh. No, the new one. There's a bunch of guys, and they tell each other what to say, and they prank people. You know, pranks been around. But apparently this was the year of the pranks, because it was like 15 players that got pranked by fake agents. So the problem is these players should not give their phone numbers out to everybody.
Right.
But remember, last year when the Eagles were drafting Cooper DeJean, who nobody knew, he got pranked too. Mm-hmm. Did everybody go crazy about him getting pranked?
Nope.
Of course
who
not.
Who didn't know him?
Nope. What's
Cooper
that?
Cooper DeJean? Yeah.
Well, the reality.
They didn't know who
you don't watch Iowa football, Tony.
Well, nobody
knows. Listen. That's not true, Harry, because you know the head coach there is a good friend of mine for a long, long time.
Who, Hayden Fry?
No, not Hayden Fry. The guy who's been there forever, who was going to be the Penn State coach.
Kirk Ferentz.
Yeah, Kirk Ferentz is a friend of the show. I used to have him on all the time. I love Iowa football. Let's go Hawkeyes. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
But let's be honest, not many people knew Cooper DeJean. No, he got pranked.
Yeah. No.
It was easy to prank guys like that last year.
Yeah. Yeah. It's only a story because Shador Sanders is black. That's the only reason it's a story. It's the only reason the media is bitching and moaning about it. Emmanuel Acho went on his X feed last night and dropped a video of just how awful and horrific it was to do a prank phone call. Shador Sanders is going to forget about that call in 5 minutes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He did.
He was out at the club last night.
Yeah.
Exactly right. They were partying like it's 1999. Yeah, they still party like it's 1999.
Party like
you
got drafted in the first round is more like what he was doing.
We need to party like it's 1999 again.
Wasn't it the Jerky Boys? They were like the original.
Oh, that was the 90s.
Phone call guys. They were great.
Frank Rizzo. Yes. My favorite was the Egyptian Magician was my favorite Jerky Boy character.
There were some
great Egyptian magician.
The Jerky
You're
Boys.
A creep.
The Jerky Boys. The reason I'm such a sarcastic a-hole is because of the Jerky Boys. Mm-hmm.
They were the best.
That's what I grew
they
up on.
They were the best.
The Jerky Boys, Howard Stern, Beavis and Butthead. Yeah.
Yeah.
T-Base says Impractical Jokers. Is that what you were talking about?
Yes, Impractical Jokers.
Yeah.
That's the only
they're
thing.
They're the modern. These guys are superstars.
Yep.
Oh, that's on True TV.
True TV, yeah.
It's the only time of the year I can find True
TNT, Paramount Plus, Disney Plus, Hulu Plus.
I only know that because the tournament's on True TV.
I was just going to say that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's the only reason I know where True TV is.
So Trump at Pope Francis' funeral met with. Well, no,
oh, I thought you meant at Bedminster.
Yeah, met with Zelensky. When he showed up at Bedminster yesterday with, this is 32 and 33, Phil. When he showed up with Saquon Barkley at Bedminster yesterday, the press was obviously there asking him about Putin, the war in Ukraine, how that's all going. Let's start with 32, Phil, go.
I was very disappointed that missiles were flying by Russia, but that missiles were flying. Very disappointing. We'll see how it goes.
Do you trust President Putin?
Say it again.
Do you trust President Putin?
I'll let you know in about 2 weeks.
Yeah, I get the feeling that he's losing patience with both sides here. I think Rubio said yesterday on one of the Sunday shows that we're the only administration that has actually tried to hear both sides out on this situation. And mm-hmm. I think he's going to start flexing. I sooner or later, they're going to wash their hands. And honestly, I think that's a win by default. If we get out of this whole conflict and stop being involved in it, let these two knock each other stupid. I don't care. I'm done with the aid to these foreign nations. Let them fight. Let other European nations deal with it. Let's stop being the world police and the world mediators here.
I agree.
Trump also discussed Zelensky. And this is actually, he said this, which is his first, because usually, you know, he kind of poo-poos Zelensky a little bit. But this is him saying he's in a tough situation. Roll this.
Is your relationship with President Zelensky better now than things were in the Oval Office?
It was never bad. We had a little dispute because I disagreed with something he said. And the cameras were rolling, and that was okay with me. But we had a dispute. But I, look, he's in a tough situation. A very tough situation. He's been fighting a much bigger force. Much bigger. And that force has not been very distinguished. You know, it's been a lot tougher than they thought. But it helped them when we gave them $350 billion worth of weapons or cash.
There you go.
Yeah, their exactly. relationship is much better now that Trump slapped him down for being an arrogant a-hole that day that he was there in the White House publicly on live television with he and J.D. Vance. Remember that? Remember when he
Where's the damn minerals? I want the minerals.
Yeah.
I need minerals. I'm mineral deficient. I need damn minerals right
we
now.
We need lithium.
I don't want to pay for them.
Yeah,
exactly.
By the way, can we go back to, because I want to get Harry's take on this. Can we go back to, so Saquon Barkley was at Bedminster with Trump
yesterday.
No,
but he was in Marine One, the helicopter.
Yeah.
He comes out of the helicopter.
Yeah,
he
let's,
did?
Yeah. Let's play that video. Let's play that video for you people who tune in
the
late.
The chopper.
Including Harry, who obviously
out of the
tuned
chopper.
In late. the chopper video. Do you have that, Phil? From the Big Take, or no, from this morning.
Yes, it's Trump coming out, and then he's coming out with Saquon Barkley because they were in Trump was in Washington, and then they come and
they
then
were at Bedminster. I know playing golf.
No, he went. That's where they landed with Marine One at Bedminster, and Saquon comes out with him and spends the day yesterday up at Bedminster. Probably played some golf.
Yeah.
Here it is.
Here he comes.
Yeah.
Here he goes. Let's watch. Saquon comes out. President comes out first. They salute Saquon, too. I think the Marines salute Saquon.
And he's got
so
the white
too.
Hat on, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't think it's a Trump hat, though. I just,
no?
No? No, what's on it?
Yeah,
no, it's just a regular white hat.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Some golf hat.
He knows.
And Nick Cale pointed earlier, look how tall, because Trump is tall.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How tall is Saquon?
I always thought
like
Saquon
6'1".
Was... I always thought Saquon was small. I didn't realize he was that tall, honestly.
Either that or Trump's lying when he says he's 6'3".
No. I've met Trump. I've met Trump, and he's tall. He's
Yeah. Look at his son. His son's like a 7-footer.
Him, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
He wanted to raise Saquon, but he ruled against it. Signed an executive order. No 40-yard dashes. Harry, who do you got in the 40, Trump or Barkley?
Yeah, I'm going to take Saquon. You could give Trump a 25-yard lead.
Now, Harry, as you
Saquon's
know...
Saquon's listed as 6 foot.
Wow.
Yeah.
Listed as 6 foot.
And as you know, Harry, anybody seen what Trump is considered to be, you know, Nazi, fascist, terrorist, supporter,
right.
a genocide,
racist.
A homophobe.
Yep.
So now, what will... Because they're going to the White House, and we replayed the cut
today,
earlier.
I think. I think it's today.
Yeah, it today. That's where... That's where at Bedminster, Trump will take... Trump will take Saquon probably back to the White House. The Eagles are going to be there today. Our own.
Will Jalen Hurts be there?
That's the big question.
That's the big question.
Well, yes, thank you for that plug, Tony. Rich Hilly will be broadcasting live starting at 3 o'clock from the White House. By the way, he's going to – the ceremony is at 4 o'clock, so he's taking his phone with an iRig that's going to be hooked up to to the radio station. So we're going to take the feed live from Zioli, and he's going to do play-by-play. That'll be in the 4 o'clock hour. So.
A bunion-free Rich Zioli.
Exactly.
Too,
right? I don't know how he's doing this. He can't come into the studio.
Unbelievable.
But he can go to the White House a dozen times, go to New York a thousand times, but not the studio.
Will he be on will he be on Marine One going from Bedminster?
He might be.
Down to D.C.
He might be. All right, let's play.
I actually have a conspiracy theory here. So think about this. Zioli's going to be down at the White House today. Trump will be there. Saquon Barkley will be there. The Eagles will be there. Presumably Jalen Hurts will be there. Who is absent from the show today? Why, that would be Dawn Stensland.
Ah, yes.
Dawn Stensland claims she's in Missouri for David and his school admission decision on whether or not
Columbia, Missouri.
He will be taking his talents to Columbia and their J school. I actually think it's all a ruse.
I do, too.
She's in D.C. today with Zioli, with Saquon Barkley. Yeah. With Donald Trump.
By the way, Zioli took his son Patrick with him, which is a really cool experience.
I bet Lair Bear actually took the son to Columbia, and Dawn is in Washington.
I go both ways.
I bet you're right. By the way, Zioli takes his son. You think he'd take his brand manager and the guy that, you know?
Well, while we're throwing grenades here,
10 years.
When's the brand manager going to take the morning guy to the White House? I mean, everybody else
we
has
have
been
enough,
there.
Yeah, we have enough. We have enough.
I know. We have enough propaganda. Zioli goes there more than he comes here. Dawn's been there 13 times. Dom's been doing this since, you know, day one.
Even Phil Holmquist
was there.
Even producers are living better lives than the morning show guy.
I don't want a bunch of White House officials that are going to tell me how great everything is. I want to be objective.
I'm not saying I want to broadcast. I just want to go.
I got
you. You and I will go together in your Subaru. We'll have a good time. We'll bond. We'll stop and get Slim Jims at the gas station.
Yep.
It'll be a bonding trip.
Yeah, just what I need. Spend more time with Nick Cannon.
Couple of Red Bulls. Right.
I spend 20 hours a week with you.
Then we'll go cocktail afterwards.
I spend more time with his wife.
I spend more time with you than I spend with my wife, and she likes it that way. By the way, all right, Harry, do you think Jalen Hurts is going to go? Let's play this video one more time, Phil.
Are you planning on visiting the White House next week?
Got it.
Got it.
What did he say?
Thank you so much.
He said nothing. No. Are you planning on going to the White House? Nothing.
Very McNabby in here.
Yeah, it is. I think he's going to go.
Yeah.
He's going to go.
I think he's going to go.
Especially now that he knows that Saquon's going to be there and he's in the helicopter with Trump. Because you know how the media is. They'll make it, wait a minute, Jalen Hurts didn't go? Because there's enough people in Philly who are ridiculous that hate Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
You know, you saw how many people don't like this guy. I love Jalen Hurts. I've loved Jalen Hurts since the day they got him. Mm-hmm. So if he doesn't go
to the White House.
Right.
That doesn't change the way I feel about Jalen Hurts.
Me neither. But the bottom line is this will be a controversy.
Right.
Well,
Saquon's there, but Jalen Hurts isn't there.
Yeah.
So this is, you know, it's fodder for it now that the draft is over and nobody knows about any of these players. What are they going to talk about?
Well, First Take needs content. So this will give
it to them. Exactly. They're not going to rip LeBron, who basically is tanked it again last night. He's pretty much shot.
He's almost done.
I'm just hoping that I'm hoping from a content standpoint.
He doesn't go. Yeah.
And then we can talk about it. But then it puts all the sports radio stations in a bind.
Yep.
How do we address this story?
Yep.
And the toxicity of Donald Trump.
Let's go to the phones.
I can imagine the meeting. The pre-show meeting, Tony.
Yeah.
Should Saquon go to the White House today? Let's put the poll up, Phil.
Yeah.
Should Jalen Hurts snub President Trump and not go to the Oval
Harry,
Office.
Let me ask you this, Harry.
This Jalen Hurts thing? I don't know.
Give me the full. How would it, it's the year
inside, but very good.
It's the year 2012, Harry. It's Tony. Yes. It's Harry. It's yours truly as the producer. How would this play out in the conference room 15 minutes before the show?
Oh man, we'd have the flip chart out and we'd be writing stuff up on the and turning the page about topic trees, Tony. Remember the topic trees?
Let's get it back to the Phillies. Oh, they've won two in a row against the Cubs, okay?
Oh, God.
I mean, I just don't think anybody cares. I don't think anybody cares.
Aaron Nola would be great.
Do you think, at the end of the day, in all seriousness, do you think anybody really cares if Jalen Hurts goes or not?
Yeah,
I think there's some people.
I think those that are invested in politics one way or the other will.
Why wouldn't he just say yes? Yes, well, I'm going, I'm not going.
Right. You made this a story by not saying anything.
Yeah.
Right.
Which maybe is what he wanted
maybe
to do.
Maybe that's what he wants.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Well, remember, that was at a Time Magazine interview, so we don't even know when that was.
Yeah. Right.
How recent was that? That Time Magazine thing where somebody sticks a mic in his face.
It's
Thursday night.
Yeah, it's less than 7 days ago.
It was?
Oh. Yeah. Well, so let's do a raising of the hands. Does anybody think he will not go?
I don't think he's going to go.
You don't?
I don't.
He's going. He's going.
I think he's going. Harry, you think he's going?
Yeah, I think he's going
to
go.
Yeah.
All right, so three people say yes to Hurts. Stalker says no.
Yep.
Okay.
And I think he's going to go because I'm sure Jeffrey Lurie and the team and all the people who thought they shouldn't go and they should have turned him down and all those other, that group, all the people like the Will Bunches and the columnists who all hate Trump, and I get it, that's what they do. But if he doesn't go, this will become a story.
That becomes the story.
Do you think,
exactly.
Do you think by now that Jeffrey Lurie, between Thursday and right now, do you think Lurie has had a conversation saying something to the effect of, if you don't want to go, I understand, but we need you to go. Just suck it up and go and smile.
Yes, I think so.
You think it's gotten that far where the owner talked to him?
I don't know.
We've seen the Dodgers just went, and they all went.
Yeah.
You know, even though a lot of the media in L.A., the left-wing media there, they're, oh, you don't go. And they were mad that the Dodgers went to the White House. So it's the media that cares.
Yeah.
It's not the athletes. They're going to the White House. It doesn't matter who the president is. You're going to the White House. I mean, that's an honor in any country.
Yep.
Right.
Cut 17 here, Phil.
Except in Dallas. You go to the White House, you get in trouble with cocaine and stuff, and it's hidden underneath, back in the Dallas Cowboy glory days. You know what I mean? Not that White House.
There is a suspect in custody in Vancouver after a person drove a vehicle through a Filipino festival, killing 9 people, by the
way.
Roll this.
Approximately 8:14 p.m., a lone suspect, subject male with one vehicle, drove through a crowded community event occurring near here. That male was taken into custody at the scene by the crowd. It was a Filipino community event. The crowd immediately called police. We then took custody of the subject, and he is now in our custody being held. There was a number of deceased and number also injured. It would be unfair for me to speculate on exact numbers as the victims were taken to multiple hospitals in the region. So not just one hospital, multiple hospitals. And it would be unfair to the facts of the case and unfair to the families for me to release any number at this point.
Well, do we have a name of the suspect? Do we have a motive?
No. Not yet.
Do we have a description?
Listen, anybody who knows Filipino people, and I know many of them, they are the nicest. I mean, you wouldn't have hospitals if there weren't Filipino nurses, Filipinas.
Very tight.
So I don't understand
community.
This. Yep. It is. They're great people. And I don't know why anyone in any, regardless of the nationality, would drive a car through a crowd of people celebrating whatever they're celebrating in a city. It's just
it's like
insane.
What happened in New Orleans.
Yeah, New Year's
morning. And here we go. Yeah. And now it's like, oh, no, this stuff only happens in the U.S. No, it doesn't. It happens everywhere, even in Vancouver, Canada.
Yeah, but you think about all these sick individuals, sadly. These festivals are easy targets, right?
Like a target.
Sitting ducks, especially when the vehicle is your weapon of choice.
Well, I don't go to festivals anymore, Tony.
Wait till...
Not even up to Berks County, Harris?
Nope.
The way Canada reacts to things, I'm assuming we're going to ban vehicles now in Canada, right?
It's true.
By the way, Edward says it's 11 people, not 9. Forgive me, as of last night, it was 9.
So gross.
Yeah, that was last night's police statement. Yeah.
So hopefully it wasn't one of those Antifas sneaking over from Seattle.
Yeah.
It's a quick trip. So, Harry, there's no chance to get you to go to Music Fest this August in Bethlehem?
No shot.
Okay.
What about the Ren Fair up there, Harry?
I've never gone to that, Tony.
Yeah. How about Mayfair in Allentown?
Mayfair.
I think Train is playing this year.
Oh, is that right?
This woman on TikTok.
Harry's a fish guy. He's a big fish guy waiting to go to the Hershey Park.
By the way, Harry, this is just for an audience of one, me and you. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction inductees were announced for 2025. Fish, even though they got the most fan support, got snubbed.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. It's bad. Making them earn it.
It's Bad Company, Tom Bell, Chubby Checker, Joe Cocker, Nicky Hopkins, Carol Kay, Cyndi Lauper, Outkast, Salt and Peppa, Soundgarden, Lenny Waronker, I don't know. Ooh, the White Stripes, and Warren Devon.
Wow. Bad Company just got in?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a disgrace.
Yeah. Did Fish get snubbed? 610-632.
Yes. I'm sure Phil will have more of it on the This Week in Music History.
That's right. Or
This Day in Music History coming up at
Was 9:50. That a senior? Who put Bad Company in? Was that like the Veterans Committee? The Veterans Committee. Yeah. Who did we snub from back in the 70s?
They've been off the ballot for quite a few years, Tony.
This is Cut Savin, Phil. This is another individual taking a video in her car. If you were with us on Friday, we wonder why everybody takes these videos while they're in their car.
Mm-hmm.
She found out that her, quote, effing employer voted for Trump, so she quit.
So her boss voted for Trump. She's out.
Okay.
She's out.
All right,
Phil, roll it.
Logic. You want to know how against Trump I am?
Yeah.
Oh.
I got job living in my car.
Oh, she's
okay,
living
no her. Address.
Oh boy.
All right. Found out that my employer voted for Trump, and guess who quit? I did. And then, okay, had this guy like all interested in me because I'm hot and young.
Right.
Okay, cool. And was like, I have this room that you can stay in for a cheaper rate. Blah 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 blah. Found out he was a Trumpy, and guess who decided to stay in her car? Me. Me, because that's how against I am of that orange dictator.
Wow.
See she's giving up washing her hair and brushing her teeth, too.
Good for you. Remember that one?
Good for you.
So she's living in her car to protest Trump?
While she's employed. Yeah. So now she's going to be living in a van down by the river after she quit.
Right. Exactly.
Because
she's so hot.
Yeah, she's so hot.
And the guy was going to let her live in an apartment. No, I'm going to live in my car with the window shade on.
Oh, my God.
You know, Tone Hare, if this would have been our old boss and she said, wait a minute, you're a Trump voter, I quit, he would have been like, there's the door.
There's the door.
I just, like, all these people that own, it's so weird.
Mental illness.
Here's a theory as to why this keeps happening. I'm going to guess that these are happening as soon as you're done driving and reaching your destination. And what happens usually when you're driving from point A to point B, if you have a small tolerance or patience level, you get road rage, right?
Yep.
So road rage kicks in. Then she's, you know what? She gets to her destination, puts that Subaru in park, goes on TikTok, rants about Trump.
Yeah. Road rage converts to TDS.
That's correct. Yeah. I think there's a correlation. The CDC will have a study later this year.
I never videotape myself in a car. And if I did, I would have done it. If we had videos back in the day when I'm in the back seat, I would have videoed all that stuff way before OnlyFans.
Yeah.
And YouTube and porn and all the other stuff.
Like, you know, almost better than sex.
We should take a break and come back and do more of the cut sheet.
Yeah, let's do that. Gale and Company as we continue, but first a word from our friends at the Piazza Auto Group, and we're talking again about the 2025 Acura ADX. That's right. Piazza Acura's latest addition to their precision-crafted lineup. Premium compact SUV with a breakthrough in design, performance, and innovation. Turbocharged engine, available all-wheel drive system, and cutting-edge technology. The Acura ADX is engineered for those who demand more. Without that demanding price tag, best of all, now available at Piazza Acura, 3 locations, Ardmore, Reading, and Westchester, with leases, get this, as low as $389 per month. You're getting a 2025 Acura SUV for under $400 a month. Check it out today, PiazzaAcura.com, and tell them Nick Cale sent you.
Start your day with Cale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.